Here with the top of Kuvzayim and Aleph, we're dealing with the mission. The mission talked about in the end, what happens if a person says that I'm going to donate Zahav, Kesef, Nechoshet to the Mikdash? What do they have in mind? Or what is the minimum amount that we consider that they had in mind? So by the Zahav, we said a Dinar Zahav. By the Kesef, we said a Dinar Kesef. And by Nechoshet, no less than a Ma'a Kesef worth of Nechoshet. So the basic principle, and that's what we've seen before, is that it's the minimum standard in that category that would be classified as being Zahav or Kesef. For instance, before when we talked about anything in the Yachid or the Rabim, we talked about if you say a Keves, that's one, Kvasim would be two, because the minimum you can do with Kvasim is two. So also over here, what's the minimum currency that would be classified as being Zahav and then would discharge your obligation when you say Harei Alav Zahav? So now the Gemara discusses this. Harei Alav Zahav, Lo Yifchot Midinar Zahav. The Dilma Naska. Who says he's talking about a coin? Maybe he's talking about a gold brick. He's talking about just the metallic gold. Who says it has to be formed into a coin? So Amar Lazar, the Amar Matzbeya. That he actually said that it's a coin, that it was a formed coin, because he used the term currency and not just Zahav. The Dilma Prite. Who says that he's talking about full-fledged Dinar Zahav? Maybe he's talking about Prutot. Now, prite can come in two forms. Prite can be just pieces of gold, but over here, obviously, since he said matbeya, it means smaller denominations of gold coins. It says, Amarapapa, prite de dahavalo abde ineche. The smallest denomination that people make in Zahav is a dinar. People don't make smaller coins in gold. Gold is considered to be stored value, but larger stored value. And therefore, the only made, or the minimum coin they made in gold was a dinar Zahav. They didn't make, it wasn't used for spare change. It wasn't used for currency in terms of everyday transactions. It was used for consolidating larger quantities of money. And therefore, Dinar Zahav was the smallest denomination. If that's the case, a person says, Matbea Zahav, the smallest coin or currency that he's speaking about is a Dinar Zahav.
But if you enter an era where the currency has a coin, it's not a dinar.
Correct. If a person who was speaking in a different era would think the minimum coin at that time, a gold coin would be, for instance, they have the gold dollars. So that would be the minimum coin that you could find in a gold denomination. Then that would be what people had in mind. So the Gemara is going to ask the same question by Kesef. Kesef lo yifchot mi dinar, v'dil manasko. Maybe, again, it means like a silver brick, a silver block. Amar Rabbi Elazar, damar matbeah. Again, he said that he used the word currency coin. V'dil ma prite. Over here, we ask, okay, maybe it's a smaller denomination than a dinar. So, Amar of Sheshi, ba'atru delo savu prite de kaspo. It's in a city where it's not common to find lower denominations than the dinar kesef. The implications from here are that there are such coins. Tosus brings from other places in Shas, they say the same thing as Ahav, that people don't break the coin down. Small coinage or small currency was done in Nechoshet, was done in copper. Silver and gold were used as larger stored values, larger coins. And therefore, they could have given the same answer. Over here, they say there were places where they used silver in smaller denominations. But the place where this individual is coming from, in his town, they use only silver, or the minimum currency that's used is the silver dinarim. And therefore, when he says a silver coin, that means the dinar kesef. And then the Gemara continues here. Nechoshet lo yivchot mima kesef. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer lo yivchot mitzinora. Kitana. Person shouldn't have less than a small pipe of copper. We'll see what that means. What do you use it for? So that you're able to take out the wicks and clean out the receptacles that hold the oil for the candles. Now, what is... No, this is totally separate. He's suggesting over here that when you say copper, you don't necessarily mean a copper coin. And obviously, he didn't use the word matbe over here. But when you use the word copper, it does not necessarily mean a ma'a kesef worth of nechoshet, where we had before, but rather there's a utensil, functional utensil, as made out of copper that someone could have in mind that was used in the Mikdash. What was it used for in the Mikdash? So Rashi over here explains that it mechatatim mepilin rosh haptila, they knock off the top of the wick, shu saruf, when it's already been charred, it's been used. And then, mekantchin b'nerot, shel menorah, of the menorah, miafra shebetocha, from the afer that's inside, they use it to scrape out the afer that's there. So that's what Rashi says. Rashi says that this was a utensil that was used in the Mikdash. Tosafot, on the other hand, says, what are you talking about? We have a specific We have specific utensils by the menorah that are made for this. We have the melkach chayim, which were the tongs that were used to take out the ptilot, and they had the midashein, and they had other utensils to clean out the ashes. So Tosfot claims it was used in the mikdash, but it was used for other lights in the mikdash besides the menorah. Other candles in the mikdash besides the menorah, but this was a functional kli that was used in the mikdash. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's suggestion is that we don't look, when we say copper, we don't look and say bring an amount of copper that's equal to a ma'a kesef, bring whatever coinage would come up to that point, but rather you bring the choshet, you bring this utensil, this copper utensil that's used in the mikdash, because that's something that someone would have in mind when they come to make a neder to bring copper to the mikdash. They'd be thinking about this utensil that's used in the mikdash. The Gemara continues, barzel, which is not found in our Mishnah, when it comes to iron, Tanya Acherim Omrim, Loivchot Mikalya Orev. A person should not be less than a spike to keep away the Orvim, to keep away the ravens. Vikama, how much is that? Amar Yosef Amal Ama. It's an Amma by an Amma of Igadamre, Loivchot Mi'amal Ama. So you have an Amma of an Amma, Maichazi Amar Rav Yosef Lekalya Orev. That's again for the Kalya Orev. So either way, that is the amount you need to create the Kalya Orev. Where was it used? So Rashi points out they were masmerot chadim, very sharp spikes, tochvim berosh gaga heichal. They were on the roof of the heichal. The chalot orvim shlo yishvu alav, so they shouldn't roost there. The roof of the heichal is flat, and it has edges, and they would roost up there. Same problem, a modern day problem that we have with the pigeons. Over there they also had basar and other innards that were left over that would be appealing to the birds. And so therefore they had to put spikes on top of the heichal in order to prevent them from roosting on top of the heichal. These spikes were made out of barzel. Reviyan and amah by an amah. Sviyad, how do I answer that? That the fact that it is only giving two dimensions and not a third dimension. So here, if you look in Tosfot on Kalya Orev brings down the Rashi, and then he says, Makom achar perish k'min tavla chada. Right, so it's like a plate that is sharp, zgufal tzida. It's placed up on its side, which is like a diamond, chaduda lachtoch k'mo sakin, like a knife. It was a scarecrow. It actually had a form to it, which seems to me to be almost pasnished in the Mikdash, to have something that's shaped like a scarecrow sitting on top of the heichal. That would be probably unacceptable. The first Mikdash, when the Shekhinah wasn't there, they did not need these spikes. Because of the presence of the Shekhinah, the Ofot didn't fly over there. Remember the story with the Talmidim that were sitting by Hillel, and the youngest of the Talmidim, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when the bird flew over him, got burnt up. So the same thing over here, the presence of the Shekhinah would be enough to keep the Ofot away. But Mikdash Sheni, Shaloi Ta Kedushak Do Kedushat Rishon Hutzku the Kalya Orev. That's why they needed the Kalya Orev. Oh, I mean, Barzel, what would they use Barzel for? And by Rishon, right, it would have to be some other function in the Mikdash. Finish off with the Tosfot, by the way, that would answer your question. In terms of the Amal Amai, it was a plate that they used on top of the Beichal, and that would be an Amal by Amal, which would have a two-dimensional plate rather than what Rashi is describing as a spike, which then would be problematic to describe in a two-dimensional manner.
You have a roof, right? So you put them over here, and then in the middle of the roof, it's all flat.
I only learned this since I lived in Israel, is that the pigeons, they only like to perch on edges because they need their feet to go over the edges. So they will hang out a little bit on top, but they will never stay there. They will only roost on an edge because their toes can go over the edge. The place you need to put the spikes are on the edges and not on the flat surfaces. Okay, so that would be the answer to the question, that they only have to put them on the edges and not really on the flat part of the roof. They'll land there, but they won't park there. They really use ledges. They have to find an area where they find comfortable putting their feet. So now the next Mishnah, Harei Ala Yayin. He says they're going to bring yain loif chot mishlosha lugim, no less than three log, because that's the minimum by the nisachim, is three log. The keves, which is the smallest of the nisachim, comes from vitahin yain, which is three log. Shemen loif chot mi log. The shemen each bring no less than a log. Rabbi Omer shlosha lugim. So this is based on the machloket we had before between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon, whether you can bring shemen. This mishnah is like Rabbi Tarfon, who says you can't bring shemen alone. Now, based on that, when you can bring shemen alone, the Tanakhama says no less than a log, because that's the minimum that we found of shemen brought in the mikdash. That's with a regular mincha. Mincha comes with a log shemen. Rabbi Omer, shlosha logim. No, you have to go like nisachim. The nisachim are three log, again, is the minimum, which is revi'i tehin. Parashti, v'enu yodeh mashi parashti. I said how much wine or shemen I was going to bring. I don't know. Yavo yavi ki yom miruba. You'll bring by the biggest day, that the largest day, and we'll see in the Gemara what that is. Tanu banan. Ezrach. Melamed shemit nadvim yayin. So in the word ezrach, that is found in the Parashat Nesachim, from that we say that you're allowed to be minadev yayin. Vikama, how much? Shlosha alugim. Three log. Uminayim shiratzalo sif yosif. And here, do you know if you want to have more than that, you can do more. Tamadomar yiyeh. You can have the word yiyeh. Yachol yifcholt. You can take less than that. Tamadomar kacha. So this is a limud that we did already. The Gemara brought just a couple of davagon kuf dalid that the sukim by the nisachim have these extra parsha at the end of the nisachim, which was unnecessary. Already laid out all the nisachim. Then afterwards, it seems to repeat the parshat nisachim. And the repetition of the parshat nisachim mentions the word ezrach, the word yiyeh and kacha. So they use the word ezrach to teach you can be mitnadev. The word kacha to say it's limited. You can't have anything less than the minimum of the nisachim. And they use the word yiyeh to teach you that you can have more. The question of what the word yiyeh, the word at the end of the parsha there of yiyeh, as Rashi quotes over here, is kachem kager kezrach yiyeh. That's at the end of the parsha of nisachim. Back on Kuf Dalet, Rashi brought an alternative explanation of what the yiyeh is. So over there he says yiyeh, the word yiyeh. So it's unclear if the yiyeh is from the nisachim that are found by the musafim, or is it found over here, the yiyeh? Because Rashi only quotes one. Over there he quotes both options on the Kuf Dalet. But either way, it's giving you this framework for the yayin. Again, we did this on Kuf Dalet, which is the minimum is three. Above that, you can do any amount you want. You can't do below that. And then on top of that, we had the machloket about whether the kli is koveya or not koveya. Whether the number is like five, you can do or not. Meaning that does five get broken down to four and one, or is five locked in and you have to wait till he brings number six to put it on the mizbeach? And that we saw in the previous gemara. Now the gemara is going to deal with the shemen. The shemen, again, we saw already was a machloket in the Mishnah between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva. So according to Rabbi Tarfon, it says you can bring shemen independently. Now we have a machloket here in our Mishnah between Rabbi and the Tanakhama about how much that you bring. So Maika Miflegate, what are they arguing about? Amru Rabbanan Kameh Rapapa. The Rabbanan suggested to Rapapa, this is their machloket. Bedomina v'ukim ba'atrika Miflegate. When you learn something from a particular location, do you have to take all the dinim from that location? Or do you take the din that you're looking for from this location, place it back in its context, and in its context you learn the remainder of the din? Rabbanan Savre, don mina umina. You learn something from somewhere, you got to take everything from that location. Ma mincha mitnadvim af shemen nami mitnadvim. Just like a mincha can be brought as a donation, so to a shemen can be brought as a donation. Umina. And from it itself, ma mincha belog af shemen belog. Just like a mincha comes as a log, so too shemen will come as a log. And that's the limit for shemen. Rebbe savar domina buki be'atro. No, we learn it out from here, but then we have to place it in its location. Ma mincha mitnadvim af shemen nami mitnadvim. Just like mincha comes as a nedava, so too shemen comes as a nedava. Vulki ba'atra, then put in its location, ki nesachim. Ma nesachim shloshet lugim, av shemen nami shloshet lugim. So too, here it has to be the minimum of three lugim that are brought in the shemen. So Amar lo Rapapa says, imi mincha gamar la rabbi, if rabbi agrees to the rabbon and it's learned out of mincha, to kuli amar lo pligi, domino mino. Everybody agrees that it's learned out of mincha, and therefore it'll be sufficient with a single log. Ella, rabbi mi ezrach gamir lo. He learns it out of the word ezrach. Ezrach, the same ezrach that we use by the yayin, he's also using as the riboy from the nisachim to teach us that shemen is also brought as a nedava. So therefore, he's learning it out of the nisachim. That's why he gets the three lo. The chachamim are learning it out of mincha. And since they're learning out the fact you can donate from mincha, they learn out of that, that you bring a single lo. On the other hand, Rabbi learns it out of the nisachim. So in the context of where he's learning it out, the nisachim are brought with three lo. So Rav Papa is claiming that the machlokes between them is where you learn out that you can bring shemen as a nedava, whereas the chachamim that were speaking for Rav Papa say, no, everybody agrees it's learned out from mincha. It's just a question of once you learned it out from mincha, what's the context in which you place it? Amalei Rav Huna Brei the Rav Noton the Rav Papa Mimat Eit Amar Tachi. Can you say this? Vatanya Rav a bright and explicit bright a karban Malamei Shem Nadvim Shemen. From the word karban, we learn out that you can donate shemen. Vikama. Shloshet lugim. And from there, how much is that? That's three log. Much, my lady, demar shloshet lugim. Who's the opinion that says that shemen comes in three log? Rabbi. Bekai mighty la mi korban. And he's learning it out of the word korban, which is found by the parshata mincha. That's the extra word by mincha. We learned that, used it for itzim yesterday. If you remember, we used the word korban to say that you can be mitnadev itzim. Also, here, korban, mitnadev shemen. But that's clear that Rabbi, who has the opinion of three log, is learning it out of Mincha. So then he says, Itanyo, Itanyo. If that's the case, if there's a Braita, I can't argue on a Braita. I would have suggested that Limud was different. I would suggest that Rebbe learns it out of Ezrach from the Sechim, and Chamim learned it out of Mincha. But now that you're telling me that we have a Braita that says that Rabbi, because he's the opinion of Shlosha Logim, is learning it out of Mincha, then I have no choice to say that that's the case. And if that's the case, Olam Kan, but don't mean up, Liga. And then you have to go back to the original Machlok is suggested by the Rabbanan to Rapapa that the Machlok it is, once I've learned it out of Mincha, that you're allowed to donate Shemen, what is the proper context for Shemen? Do you learn it out of Mincha, which is Blula B'Shemen, or do you learn it out of the Shemen of Nisachim, which is identified separately, even though again it's also mixed in the end, but it's identified separately, just like the Yain there, maybe that should be the context, and from there I would learn out three log instead of the one log by Mincha, and that'd be the Machlok between the Chachamim and Rabbi. Parashti, Beno Dema Parashti, Yavi Ki Yom Ruba. He brings by the biggest day. What's that? We had this once before. We had it back on Kufhei with regards to, we wanted to know, what's the largest mincha that you can bring? In the Mishnah over there, it was suggested that the largest mincha you could bring is of 60 Yisaron, because the largest day of the Tzibur in the Mikdash was 61 Yisaron. That day was Yom Tov Rishon Shel Sukkot and Nafal B'Shabbat. So that's also here. Tanakh, Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag Shechal Yot B'Shabbat. That's the same time. That is the largest amount. So if you look over here, you have on that largest day of the year when it comes to Karbanot, Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag, the Musrei Sukkot, the first day of Sukkot, that comes is 13 Parim, 2 Elim, and 14 Kvasim, which are the Musafim of the first day of Sukkot. In addition to that, you have the Musrei Shabbat, which are 2 Kvasim. In addition to that, you also have the Tmidim that are normally brought, which are also 2 Kvasim. So if I add it up, we did it by the Solot, which came out to 61 Yisaron. Now we do it by the Shemen and the Yain will be the same, because the Shemen and Yain have the same measurement. But we know that the Parim get a Chatziyahin, the Elim get a Shlishitahin, and the Kvasim get a Revi'itahin. So in Log, a Chatziyahin is 6 Log, a Shlishitahin is 4 Log, and Revi'itahin is 3 Log. So if I take the Parim, 13 Parim times 6 Log, that's 78 log. Take the 4 log that come to Elim and multiply it by 2, I get 8 log. And then I take the 3 log that come with the Kevis and I multiply 14, I get 42 log. And then I have to take both the Musvei Shabbat and the Tmidim, which are an additional 4 times the 3 log, gives you 12. An additional 12 log, you add those up, you get 140 log. So that's the maximum days, 140 log. So the person says that I didn't know what I parashed to, then the maximum that we'd assume that he would bring is 140. Again, you could do the test. 140, we would say over here, 140, because we rejected that in the end, that was the reasoning for the 60 Saron. In the end, we said the reason for that is because Nivlal Bakli. But over here, the largest amount somebody would have in mind to bring of a log would be the largest day of the Tzibur is 140. If he says to us, look, there was no way I did over 60, then it also be, that would be the cap. We would say, don't bring more than 60. But the largest amount anybody would have in mind, if they don't remember what it was, would be this largest day in the Mikdash, would be 140 log.
What was the case that we said that you would bring, you have to bring one, from 1 to 140?
According to Rabbi's position that we saw before, that when you specify the amount, you can't just bring the entire amount. You have to bring each one in order to accomplish that. So Rabbi might agree over here the same position, that you have to bring each amount up to that number. And he would argue in this case as well. So just before we do the Mishnah, I just have to give you a little background to be a little bit of animals and understand the animals here, which is that we're going to bring from the Karbanot, which are, you're allowed to bring Karbanot in the Mikdash from Bakar, Tzon, and Uf. Those are the three things that you're allowed to bring Karbanot from, Bakar being cattle. Within the category of Bakar, there's a possibility of bringing a Zachar Nekeva, which is a Par and a Para, which are, Par and Para are mature cattle, mature bakar, which is a par is a bull, and a para is a cow or a heifer, which is the female cow. So those are the two. They're above 1 year old. 2 years, and possibly into their third year also would be kashir to bring. They have children. Those children are baby cattle, which are in their first year of life, are called an egel and an egla. Egel and egla, which are the calf. It's used both. It's either a calf and a heifer calf. Those are used as the male and female of the younger bakar. Then the Torah also says you can bring korbanot from tzon. Tzon being the flocks, they divide into two categories. That's kvasim and izim. They have kvasim, which are sheep, izim, which are goats. Within the kvasim, you can bring an ayo or a rachel. An ayo and a rachel, again, are mature sheep, Ayal being a ram, a Rachel being a ewe, and they're in their second year. The Ayal has one exception to that, is in the first 30 days of its second year, it's called the Palges. And that Palges is precluded from you putting on the Mizbeach. It's not a Keves, and it's not an Ayal. Now, the sheep, or a young sheep, in their first year, are known as lambs. And that is a Tle and a Talia, or Keves and Kivsa. They're used interchangeably, even Kesev and Kizba. All those words are used to describe a lamb, both male and the female, which is Tle, Talia, Keves, Kivsa, and Kesev and Kizba. So that's the sheep. In the goat category, you're going to have mature goats, again, in their second year of life, would be a Seir, which is known as a buck, or the more modern-day word is billy. Si'ira, which is known as a doe, or the modern-day word is nanny. Those are the male and female goats that are in their second year. And then you can have a gdi and a gdiya. A gdi and gdiya are in their shana rishona, in the first year of life, baby goats. Those are a kid for the male, and a doling for the female. It's also the word that's used is taish and taisha. They're also interchangeable with the word gdi and gdiya. Both mean goats in their first year of life. And then on top of that, you have ofot, which is the oaf, which is the fowl. They can come either as torim and bnei yona. As we know, with ofot, there is no zachar nekeva. It's irrelevant. We know that the torim are only when they're older, which the Gemara tells us mishi as hivu. Once their wings, their feathers turn yellowish, then already they're kasher, mishi as hivu. And the bnei yona are only bnei yona when they are younger, which is that adkilat atzihuv, until they reach the point where they start to yellow, then they are kosher. You have the torim and the bnei yona, and what the exact definitions of them, whether pigeons, turtle doves, doves, and that is subject to some controversy, but those are the birds that can be brought. And that just gives you some background, and when we read the Mishnah, it'll be easier to understand. Hare yala yola, yavi kevis. Someone who says, I'm going to bring an olah, then the standard olah that you're talking about here is a keves. So the keves, which is mentioned in the category of tzon, is keves. Remember, the Gemara before said, it's not the first thing that's written in the parsha that tells you what the generic standard is. Because the first thing mentioned in the parsha olah is bakar. So if you say that, it's the first thing mentioned in the tzon, between the keves and the izim, but it's still not the first thing mentioned. But keves is the generic type of olah that is brought. Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah Omer, O Torah b'nei Yonah. Well, you can have Olat Ha'of. There's not just Olat Ve'ema, there's also Olat Ha'of. So if someone says an Olah, the minimum that we're talking about is a bird. Perashti min abakar, ve'nu de'mash perashti. I said I'm going to bring it from the cattle, but I don't know what I said. So now his options are, yavi par ve'egel min abehema. He brings a par and an egel. A par and an egel are the zicharim of the bakar. Par is the mature bakar, and the egel is the first year, the calf, in its first year of life. Why is zachar? Because olot only come from zacharim. So here he doesn't know what he said in the bakar, so he has to bring a par and egel, which is a zachar in the olot.
Why does it have to be an egel? A par is like the most expensive, right?
So if you want to say that if you have vigadol, his yotzei, even with the katan, then you're right. But over here, the Mishnah says, well, he doesn't know. He says, I specified what I was going to bring, either an eagle or a par. So it's not enough to bring the par, according to one who says that if you bring a gadol, then you're not yotzi b'katan. Says, mina beima, I was going to bring it from animals. Ven yodeh ma pirashti, but I don't remember what animal. Now he's got to bring the male side of every one of these forms. Yavi, par ve'egel. Again, the bull and the calf, which are the male bakar. Ayo, and it should really be here. Afterwards, the ayo should be a tle. The ayol and the tle, which are the sheep, which is the ram and the lamb, which are the male, mature, and youngling, the one in its first year. And then in the goats, you have to bring the seir, the buck, and the gedi, which is the kid, and all of those you'd have to bring, which is the male side of all the animals that are possible to bring as a korbanot. Peirashti, be'enu yodeya ma peirashti, says, I said what it was, and I have no idea what it was. Musif aleihem Torah ben Yonah. Then he adds on, because he didn't use the word behema. Behema defines everything in the animal category over here, whereas the ofot would be an additional area. So you'd have to add on a Torah and a ben Yonah in the singular, not in the plural, but in the singular, either a Torah ben Yonah, because those also qualifies as being olot. Todah shlamim. He says, I'm going to bring a todah shlamim. What's different, now todah vishlamim here, the vo is not a vav chibor, but a vav chiluk or. Todah or shlamim. So now he says, yavi. Now when you bring a todah shlamim, also keves. Keves is the standard, basic, generic type of animal that you would bring. Just like by the olah, you bring a keves, which qualifies as a shlamim or a todah. Peirashti min abakar. Now, over here he says, I explained, I said I'm going to bring it from the cattle, but anyway, I don't know what I said. What's different about the shlamim from the olah? Olah can only be brought from zicharim, whereas shlamim can be brought from nekevot as well. So now when he says, I'm going to bring from the bakar, and I don't know what I said, now he's going to have to bring par and para, and egel ve'egla. He's going to bring a bull, a heifer, a calf, and a heifer calf. Because it could be any of those in that category. Male and female now qualified to be the shlamim, and he has to provide all of them. Mina behima says, I'm going to bring from the animals. But I don't know what it is. So now he's got to bring male, female of every category. So now he's got to bring par, para, egel, and egla, which are all the unit within the bakar. For the sheep, he's going to have to bring an ayol and a rechela, which is a ram and a ewe. Seir v'seira is in the goats, the mature, the buck, and the doe. And then you have to bring dig dia, which is the kid and the doling, which are the younglings by the goats. And talia, which are the lambs by the sheep. Again, I don't know why they do this out of order, where they put the mature sheep, and then they skip them down to the talia and talia. All right, I guess you can come up with a reason. To me, it would seem easier to put the lambs together with the sheep. But anyway, now you bring all those animals. So now he says, Harayalai shor. He says, I'm going to bring a shor. Now the word shor is interesting. A shor is an ox. A shor and a par generally are used synonymously in the Torah. Shor and par. Generally a shor as an ox is used for work, whereas the par, the bull, is used for meat production and eating. That would be the general difference between them. They're technically different species, slightly different species, but in many places they're used interchangeably, the ox and the bull, the par. So here, where it says, Hare alai shor, yavihu unisachav bimaneh. Then he has to bring it and its nisachim together for a maneh. Where do we know this from? Rashi says, kachni paresh yino b'torosh v'alpeh. So din, alach anov, it's alach l'moshe misinai, it's something in the Mesorah, torosh v'alpeh, that the amount or the value of what you bring is a maneh. Egel. If he says, I'm going to bring an egel, yavihu unisachav b'chamesh. And he brings them with five. Five here is referring to selah. Every selah is 4 dinar. So if I do five times four, it's 20 dinar. It's supposed to a maneh, which is 100 dinar. Ayol specifies that I'm going to bring an ayol, which is a ram. Yavihu nisacha b'shtayim. That you bring with two. Now two over here is two selah. Two selah would be 8 dinar. Now this happens to be mentioned in the Torah. Because the Torah actually mentions by ayol, by the asham, that it comes me shnei shkalim. That has to be 2 shekel, which shekel at Torah is equal to the selah tzuri. And that would be we find that even though in the Torah, when it's mentioned without the nisachim. The value of the asham that you're going to bring is without the nisachim. Nevertheless, they use that as the framework for it. And therefore, with the nisachim is brought with two selah. And then the inference from that is, this is how the Tosfos mentioned this, the inference from that is, if an ayol, which is a mature, 2-year-old sheep, comes for 2 selah, then a keves, which is a sheep in its first year of life, would be half of that. So that would be the next thing. Keves yivihu nechazav b'selah. So that's how they learn out the amounts here. Again, they're all Torah Shabbat, as Rashi points out, although there is a remez to them in the Pasuk, and the fact that the ayol asham is brought with 2 shkalim, which is the equivalent of 2 selah. Shor b'maneh, if he says, I'm going to bring a shor worth 100, yavi b'maneh chutz min nisachav. He brings it for 100, excluding its nisachim. Egel, he says, egel b'chamesh, and he says, I'm going to bring it with 5. Selah, yavi chamesh chutz min nisachav. He brings it with 5 without the nisachim. He has to bring the nisachim on top of that amount. Ayu b'shtaim, yavi b'shtaim, then he brings it to 2 selah, chutz min nisachav. Keves b'selah, yavi b'selah, chutz min nisachav. So if you specify the value only relates to the korban, and you have to bring the nisachim on top of that. If you just specify the animal, then within that value, which is laid down in the Mishnah, you bring both the nisachim and the animal. Shor b'maneh, vevi shnayim b'maneh. If he says, I'm going to bring 1 shor at 100, and then he brings 2 instead for 100, lo yatza. Then he's not yotze, because he specified that he's going to bring a single animal worth a maneh. Vavila zeh b'maneh chaser dinar, v'zeh b'maneh chaser dinar. Each one of them is 99 darim. He's not yotze, because he said, I'm going to bring a single animal worth 100. He says shachor, says it's black, vevi lavan, he brought white, lavan, vevi shachor, white, and he brought black. Gadol, vevi katan, big, and he brought small, lo yatza. In all these instances, it's not yotze. Katan vevi gadol. On the other hand, if he specified the small one, vevi gadol, he brought the big one, yatza. Rebbe Omer, lo yatza. Rebbe says that he's not yotze. So Gemara says, velo plige. The first thing the Gemara says is that they're not arguing. Marki atrei u marki atrei. The machloket that we saw between the Tanakama and Rav Lozer ben Yaakov, whether they brought a kivis or the birds, it depends what it was. But I traded Tanakama Gria kivis. The lowest denomination of an olah that was brought was a kivis. It was even below the birds. And therefore, he, when he said, this stam olah is a kivis. On the other hand, Rav Lozer ben Yaakov, the ilfot were below the kivis. And therefore, when he said, I'm going to bring a stam olah, he meant even birds. So there's no argument between them. It was contextual. You have to know in the location where the person's taking the nether, how do people look at olot? What is the smallest olah that you would bring? Is it a bird or the kevis? Whichever is the smallest, that's what he has in mind when he says it's tam. Torah banan. Hare olah yolah b'sela l'mizbeach yavi kevis she'en lecha da'ark shekrei b'sela l'gabe mizbeach ala kevis. He says, I'm going to bring an olah b'sela. Well, b'sela defines for you what that amount. What is brought l'mizbeach b'sela? That's the kevis. So therefore, it means that he should bring a kevis. So if a kevis should carry b'sela, there's nothing that goes on the mizbeach like the kevis, which is brought by the sela. Parash tivinu demi parash. I specified the amount. Yavi mikol davar should carry b'sela legabe mizbeach. Anything you can purchase worth a sela that can go on the mizbeach, you got to buy. So whatever you can go out and sell and get a whole item, and end up on the mizbeach, that would be. So of course you'd get a kevis plus any other item that would be in the category worth you can buy with a sela and put on the mizbeach. Parashti mina bakar, vinu de parashti yavi par ve'ego. So this is your question, David. Am I? Veleti par, mimonov shach. Bring a par. Why does he have to bring a par and ego? Says, ha, mani rabbi hi. Says what I said to you before. This is the shita rabbi. Demar katan ve'evi gadol yatsa. Where it says, he rabbi, yema seifa. Shor bimane, ve'evi shnayim bimane lo yatsa. Ve'evi lezeh bane chaser dinar, ve'zeh bane chaser dinar shachor, ve'evi lavan lavan, ve'evi shachor, gadol ve'evi katan lo yatsa, katan ve'evi gadol yatsa. Which sounds like the stam is the Rabboman. Then Rabbi Omer, lo yatsa. So it seems like Rabbi's only entered into the Mishnah at the end. So now you're suggesting Rabbi was in the beginning of the Mishnah and at the end of the Mishnah? The Gemara says yes. Reisha v'sefer Rabbi mitziyata the Rabbanon. The Gemara says in. Reisha v'sefer Rabbi mitziyata the Rabbanon. V'achi kamar. Dover ze machloket Rabbi Rabbanon. The first part of the Mishnah, it says that all according to Rabbi. No, it says at the end, you should know that this is really a machlokas Rabbi and the Rabbanon. And according to Rabbanon, you only have to bring the par, not the ego. In all the instances, you have to bring the ayo, not the tleh, the seira, not the gedi. And the same with the females, you bring the parah, not the agla, the rachel, and not the talia, and the seira, not the gdiya. Anatam, shisham nidava kineged mi. In the Mikdash, they had 6 extra horns that were in the Dava. We discussed this already. There were 13 there. 7 of them were for Chovot. That was the New Shkalim, the Old Shkalim, the Kinim, the Gozlei Ola, the Itzim, and the Levona, and Zahav of Kaporet. Those were the 7 mandatory ones. Then they had 6 in the Dava, connected me. Why did they have 6 horns in the Dava? It's because each mishmar was broken down into 6 batei avot, and they worked each one of the days of the week. 6 batei avot, each one worked one a day, Shabbat, they all worked together. So now they wanted to make it that they wouldn't, nor that they wouldn't fight over who got the orot, because whenever there was idol on the mizbeach, they brought these nidavot from the shofarot, they brought the monies they purchased olot to put on mizbeach, and the orot went to the kohanim. So what happens if one day it was very busy and they had no extra olot? The other day it's quiet and they get all the olot, so they would fight. So what they did was they put the money evenly across all 6 of them. Each one belonged to one of the batei avot, and they would use that money. Their money belonged to them to use for their karbanot. And whatever was used from that horn, those olot went to them. Even though the takana was that they only divided up the olot at the end of the week to ensure that there were no balei zro. The Gemara in Psachim says that nobody could go in there and strong arm and take them away, and because everybody was there. But that still doesn't mean that the batei avot were able to work it out. It just means that one individual couldn't pull away with the... Rabbi Yochanan Mar Mitokshan Nedava Meruba Tiklaim Shofarot Meruvim Ketei Shelo Yitapshu Amot. Rabbi Yochanan says just that since there were plenty of Nedavot that were brought in the Mikdash, leftover monies, whatever reason, they didn't want the coins to go bad. Since they didn't want coins to go bad, to deteriorate, to rust, therefore they had to put them in many Shofarot so they didn't get packed in too tightly. Ze'iri Amar Keneged Par Ve'ego Ayo Bekeviz Gediva Seir. The 6 animals that you can bring as an olah, for Rebbe he, damar katan bevi gadol yetza. And this is Rabbi who says, if you promise the katan, you bring gadol, you're not yotze. Therefore, you have to have a separate shofar for each one of the animals. And then we have the last opinion, which is, upar pado amar, keneged aparim, ve'ilim, kvasim, v'sirim, amotarot, v'ama'a. In all these instances, Rashi explains it, and we'll leave off with this, and the Gemara continues on through tomorrow, which is that each of these animals are leftovers, and we'll explain this on tomorrow's daf. Each one of these animals, if they have leftover money, or they lost them, they introduce new ones, And then they had these old ones, they have to put them out to pasture, and then monies are brought to the shofarot that are used for alot nedava. This is all by the tzibur, not by the yachid, because by the yachid, achatot are metot. So here we're talking about items that were by the tzibur, and these were the extra monies that were placed into the shofarot. So Rashi goes through each one of them, we'll do that on tomorrow's daf, explaining which goes into which, and that's Bar Pada, and then the Gemara will explain why each one didn't take the other's opinion. Okay, we'll stop over here.